Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John chapter 3 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1323, page 1323. We'll read in unison verses 5 and 6 of the third chapter, and then we'll go to another place for a couple other verses after we read this passage. 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now let's stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word, and join with me in reading the 5th and 6th verses. Ready? And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And turn now to the first chapter of 1 John, verse 8. And we'll read together the 8th verse. Ready? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And now let's read verse 10 together, please. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And let's pray. Father, for this day we praise thee, we give thee thanks, how gracious you are to your people. And thank you for this wonderful collection of good and gracious people with whom we meet Sunday by Sunday. And thank you for those who visit with us today. And we pray for thy blessing upon each one, for every heart means a specific and unique need. And we pray that thou wouldst meet our needs, bless our preacher in the preaching of the word today, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to open your Bibles again, please, to 1 John chapter 1. I want you to leave them open there. In fact, I think it's just one page over. I want to read again the verse in 1 John 3, the first line of verse 6, the first line of verse 6. Read that out loud with me. Just the first down until you get to that. Is it semicolon or a colon there? First five, six words of verse 6 of 1 John 3. Ready? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Read it again. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. I want you to leave your Bibles open to 1 John 1, 8 there. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. But I want you to get indelibly imprinted in your mind that little line, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. I will say this, you'll have to really carefully follow. You'll not be able to casually follow my message this morning. You'll have to carefully follow it. I want to speak on this subject, and this is going to shock you, in a Baptist church. But I've implied this many times. I'm preaching on it this morning. This subject, you can have victory over sin now. You can have victory over sin now. And before you file that away in your book of memories, and then forget the sermon and think that Brother Hiles is preaching total perfection in the flesh, I want you to hear very carefully. You know, there are two sides to this matter of sin. One is that you can get to a place in your life where you'll never sin again, or where you don't sin. Another is that since we can't help but sin, we may as well go ahead and do it. We can't help it, and so we just don't try. But I want to speak this morning on the subject, you can have victory over sin now. Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, these next few minutes. I realize this morning that I've got to give an account someday for this sermon. And I pray that those who hear me will likewise realize that they too must give an account. I pray that I shall speak as unto eternity, and those who hear me shall hear as unto eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. There's not enough said in the modern pulpit about sin. In fact, in many pulpits around the land, the word sin is not even used. Mistake, error. But sin is the real issue in the Bible. Were there no sin, there would have been no need for the virgin birth. Were there no sin, there would have been no need for the incarnation of Christ. Were there no sin, there would have been no need for the vicarious death. Were there no sin, there would have been no need for the unjust trial of our Lord. Were there no sin, there would have been no need for the resurrection of our Lord. Were there no sin, there'd be no need for him to be now at the right hand of the Father, pleading our case. Everything, the whole purpose of everything, has to do with the sin question. Now, this morning, I want you to follow me very, very carefully. Our text is, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." There it is, in black and white. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. You say, preacher, that doesn't mean what it says. All right, let's forget that for now, but does it say that? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Let me paraphrase it for you. If a Christian abides in Christ, he does not sin. That's as good a paraphrase as I can give. Let me paraphrase it again. As long as a Christian abides in Christ, he does not sin. Now, before you excommunicate me for heresy, and before you classify me as not being a Baptist, let me explain and let me finish the message. But there it is. Like it or not, try to explain it away or not, try to disprove it or not, try to go around it or not, there it is in black and white. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, immediately, the question arises when you read a verse like that. What about 1 John 1:8? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Or 1 John 1:10, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, it says. Now, I want you to look at those verses very carefully because this is the sermon. Look at those verses, 1 John 1:8 and 1 John 1:10. Look at them very carefully. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now look at me. We have three statements here to reconcile with each other. The first statement says, whosoever abideth, don't leave me now, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now there it is. The second statement says, if we say we have no sin, and the third statement says, if we say we have not sinned. Now, there are three things said here. First thing that's said is it sinneth not. Second thing, have sinned. Third thing, have sinned. Now, this is the time you must follow me. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, there's no record there of the word committing sin. It says having sin. If we say we have no sin, now hear me carefully, there is a difference in having sin and committing sin. Let me illustrate. When I was a kid, We used to go down on to Uncle Roy's farm. Every summer, we'd go down to Uncle Roy's farm. Usually, I'd spend anywhere from a week to a month on Uncle Roy's farm, and a time or two, spend all summer. Uncle Roy had a 40-acre farm back in the days when you could make a living on a 40-acre farm, and we thought he had everything. My Uncle Roy is one of the finest Christians I ever met. Uncle Roy went to the Plum Grove Baptist Church. Charlene, that's right, isn't it? Plum Grove Baptist Church. My memory is amazing. I can't recall what happened yesterday, but I can recall what happened 50 years ago. Uncle Roy went to Plum Grove Baptist Church. He'd get up in the morning early and drive over dirt roads and sometimes through mud. Well, I imagine 20 miles to the Plum Grove Baptist Church. Stayed there all day. He taught the men's Bible class. They had preaching just first and third Sundays, so Uncle Roy spoke to them on second and fourth Sundays. Best Christian, one of the best Christians I ever knew. Uncle Roy knew his Bible. He didn't know that the King James Bible wasn't sold. Nobody knew it back in those days. And nobody ought to know it today, but all he had was a copy of the King James Bible. He didn't know it wasn't all true. And anyway, Uncle Roy read the Bible. He knew the Bible, a great Bible student. He didn't have any commentaries. That's one reason he knew the Bible so well. But he got a commentary one time and couldn't understand it, so he read the Bible and explained it to him. But Uncle Roy to me was the epitome of a Christian. I mean a hard-working man, a farmer, honest, upstanding, faithful, patriotic, dedicated Christian man. But Aunt Octa was the best cook in the world. She cooked an all-good pie that was all good. I'll never forget it. I used to snoop a little bit in the cabinets. And one day I was snooping in the cabinets. I wasn't going to get anything. I just wanted to see what was missing. And I was shocked to death. There was in the cabinet right there beside the all good pie a pint of whiskey. I couldn't believe it. In Uncle Roy's cabinet. Why, I knew he wouldn't do it. I knew it was Aunt Octa's, not Uncle Roy. But I couldn't believe it. A bottle of whiskey. And I went to Mama and I said, Mama, whiskey bad, bad. Whiskey, no, no, no. No, Mama taught me that it was bad. She went to Uncle Roy and she said, Roy, is there whiskey in your cabinet? He said, Costell, there is. She said, Roy, Jack is really concerned. I'm Jack. She didn't call me Dr. House in those days. Upset me a great deal, but she said Jack's concerned. They had an old-fashioned wood stove. Uncle Roy would sit there and read his Bible. And I'd see him reading that Bible. I'd look at that cabinet, look at that Bible, look at that cabinet, look at that Bible, look at that cabinet. I tried to make them reconcile each other. And one day Uncle Roy said, Son, I want to talk to you. I said, What is it, Uncle? He said, I've never taken a drink of whiskey. He said, we live in the country. He said, we have no medicine, no doctor nearby. And he said, there are certain things that whiskey, certain illnesses that whiskey will help. If that's the case, those guys, our rescue mission ought to be in perfect health. But he said, there are certain things. Sorry about that, fellas. There are certain things that, and he declared, he said, now son, it's good for a bad cold. Now, I wish he hadn't said this because we're going to get more bad colds this afternoon in this church. But he said it's good for a bad cold. He said one little swallow is good for a bad cold. Now he said, I've never drank it. But he said it's there for medicinal purposes. Now wait a minute. He'd never taken a drink. He had the whiskey on the shelf. It was one thing to have the whiskey on the shelf. Another thing
to drink the whiskey from the shelf. I think. I've never done either one. But it's not the same to have the whiskey. Now, he had it on the shelf. Now, it was not a sin to have the whiskey on the shelf. I think personally it's sort of dumb. But it was not a sin. The Bible never says, thou shalt have no strong drink on thy shelf. It says in thyself, but not on thy shelf. Oh, that's a funny one. But he said, he didn't say, but he did say, don't put it to your lips. Now, that's what God is saying here. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We do have sin. But having sin is not the same as committing sin. Now, in verse 8 it says, if we say we have no sin, now that's the whiskey on the shelf. Now in verse 10 it says, if we say we have not sinned. So what the Lord is saying here, he's saying, if we say we do not have sin present in us, available, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Then he goes on to say, if we say we have not sinned. But it does not say if it says we do not sin. There is a vacuum here, a space here. We cannot say we have no sin because we do have sin. More than that. A fellow came to my office one morning, and he was on dope. I mentioned it, the same story recently. About when I went off the broadcast and said the wrong words. Wrong word. But this fellow came in, and he had a dope problem, and he left me a little sack of marijuana. Well, I didn't know what to do with it. I put it on my desk, but I thought I can't do that, so I stuck it in my drawer. I forgot it was there. Now, if I said I had no marijuana, I deceived myself, and the truth was not in me. I had marijuana in my desk. But I did not smoke it. Often. I did not smoke it. So I did not take marijuana. I had marijuana. Now, if we say we do not possess sin in these mortal bodies, fallen, depraved creatures as we are, we deceive ourselves. For you to say that you do not have the potential of any sin is to deceive yourself. For me to say that I do not have the potential for any sin is to deceive myself. If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself, and the truth is not in me. But it is not saying if you say I do not commit sin. Now, if we say we have not sinned, that's committing. If we say we have not sinned, then we make God a liar, and His Word is not in us. Now, in between saying we have not sinned and we have sinned, there is another statement, and that is sin. Commit sin now. Here's what I'm saying, and here's what God is saying. God is saying that nobody can say he's never sinned. God is saying that nobody can say he will never sin again. God is saying that nobody can say he does not have sin in him and with him. But if we abide in Christ, now, at this moment, we do not have to sin. At this moment. You see, the Christian life, we spend too much time in the Christian life looking backwards, looking forward. Now is the great time in the Christian life. Joe Boyd did me a great favor many years ago when he said, Brother Jack, do you want to know how to be in the will of God 10 years from now? I said, I sure do. He said, then be in the will of God now. You see, God is telling us here to occupy ourselves with the now. Do not lament because you have sinned, and do not lament because maybe someday again you will sin, but occupy yourself right now and focus on right now. I do not have to commit this sin right now. Now, how can I not commit this sin right now? Abide in Christ. That's what the text says. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So if at this present moment I face a temptation to sin, I do not have to sin. I have sinned, and I have sin, But I do not have to at this moment sin. And the great secret of the Christian life and of having our lives cleansed from sin is to not sin now. Let me make some observations. One is, having sin and committing sin are not the same. I have in my pocket a knife. Brother John, I could take your life with that knife when you go to sleep after a while, if I chose to. So I have sin in my hand right now. I am not committing sin right now. Just as surely as I have a knife in my hand, but I'm not using it right now, I also have temper right now, but I'm not using it right now. Is it a sin to possess temper? No, sin caused the possession of temper. But to have a temper and to use a temper is different. And I'm saying this, though we have tempers, we have used or lost those tempers, and though we will someday, no doubt again, at this present moment, nobody, I better close this knife or I'm going to lose my temper. Nobody has to sin now. Now I'm saying, there's no excuse for sin now. You cannot do a thing about the sin you committed yesterday. And you do not need strength now for tomorrow's temptation. What you need now is victory over sin at this minute. And the Bible says you can have it by abiding in Christ. Fully on this stuff. Well, that can't happen. All of us are weak. Fully on that. Fully on this stuff. Well, all of us are sinful and nothing to do about it. Bless God, it's under the blood. So I'll do another one, put that under the blood. Fully on that stuff. And fully on a church that does not hate sin. And fully on a preacher who does not hate and preach against sin. And fully on this Christianity that whitewashes sin. I'm saying sin is black, sin is wrong, but you do not have to sin now. We all now possess temper. Like my uncle possessed the liquor. And we have temper, but if we abide in Christ now, we will not lose or use our temper. We have lust, but if we abide in Christ now, we will not give vent or exercise to the expression of that lust. We have now hatred, but if we abide in Christ, we do not have to give vent or exercise to that hatred. I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe in sinless perfection. I do not believe in total sanctification. I do not believe there's a person in this room that can live a life above sin, but bless God, because you can't live a life above sin, it does not mean that you can't live now without sinning. I've heard Dr. John Rice say this again and again and again and again. I've heard old Dr. John say it more than most any statement I've ever heard him say. He says, in any given circumstance, you can have victory over sin. You cannot keep the liquor out of the cabinet, but you can keep it out of your mouth. You cannot keep the lust out of your heart, but you can keep it out of your actions. You cannot keep the hatred out of your ability to possession, but you can keep it out of action. And I'm saying today that we need once again to realize that we need to come back to know the word holiness again. It's almost forgotten anymore. We need to come back to know the word righteousness again. It's almost forgotten anymore. I'm saying, and God is saying, if you abide in Christ, at this moment you can have victory over whatever temptation is facing you. Observation number two, you do not have to sin now. The actual sinning refers to the past in verse 10. Verse 8 deals with the possession of the potential to commit sin, a possession of the sin with the potential to commit it. And though we are born in sin, and though we are bit in sin, the Bible says, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you. That means that in any given circumstance, at this present moment, you, I, do not have to sin. Observation number 3. If you abide in Christ, you will not commit sin. There it is. I didn't write it, but it says it. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Notice it didn't say whosoever will abide in him will never sin. It said who abideth now. God is a now God. Moses asked the question, whom shall I say sent me? God said, tell him the I am has sent you. Follow me carefully. Years ago, we lived at 2523 Britton Street, Dallas, Texas. One block east of us was Denley Drive. Up on Denley Drive, there was a house that had beside it a big cage. In that cage was a lion, a real live, grown lion. I mean, I was just a lad. You could hear that thing all over the... You know how I thought about it? This week I saw in a paper, a picture of Ginger Rogers. She didn't live in our neighborhood, but she had been there. And Ginger Rogers owned a lion. Was Ginger Rogers? You don't remember? Oh, boy. Maybe it's not true. Maybe I dreamed it. When I get your age, I may have a problem also along the same line. But Ginger Rogers owned a lion. And now nowadays, they have some kind of ordinance against it. But that thing would roar, during the night. You know, I hate to ride my bicycle by that cage. Do you know what they said? The fellow who kept that thing for Ginger Rogers, he said that lion was a vicious, dangerous, deadly animal. But he said, one day he said to me, let me open the door, you go in with me. My mama didn't raise no dumb boys. One dumb girl, but no dumb boys. I said, no way. But tell you what, I have witnesses, or I had witnesses then. That fellow said, if you walk in that cage with me and let me look at that lion, as long as I'm looking at him, he's helpless and harmless. He said, you can, if I'm in a cage, you could sit on his neck. And I said, no, I couldn't. But he said you could. And he said, if you sit on his neck, if I'm there looking at him, he won't hurt anybody. But if I'm not there, he'll kill anybody he can get his paws on. You see what I'm saying? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. If you face sin without the Savior, it'll destroy you, wreck you, ruin you. But if you abide in him, now you will not sin. Now, the lion was there. But as long as the guest was abiding in the trainer, and brother, if I'd have gone in there, I would have abode in the trainer. I mean, hugging him but that's it. The Lord is simply saying, nobody here can say you don't have sin. The Lord is warning us. He's saying, look, sin is in you. You've got to be careful all the time. It's there. You've got to watch it. It's there. And you have sinned. You can't say you've not sinned. You can't say you never will sin. You can't say you don't have sin. But you can abide in Christ now and have the victory over now temptation. That's what he's saying. Now the secret not to sin tomorrow is to abide in Christ now, because tomorrow will be now then. When I was in Army, we dug foxholes. And you get in combat and dig a foxhole, you abide in that foxhole, the bullets won't hit you. I dug mine nearly all the way to China. You abide in that foxhole. Now what's the secret of safety? Abide in the foxhole. Stick your head up, see if the next bullet's coming, you'll swallow it. But if you abide in that foxhole, nobody that's shooting a rifle across there can hit you, because the safety... Now, to say you have no danger and have no bullets coming over is deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. But you can, if you abide in that foxhole, you can have victory presently over the bullet now. And I'm saying, and God is saying, though we do not believe in sinless perfection, though we do not believe we can live above sin, we ought to hate sin and realize its deadliness and realize that God has given us a way over present for present victory over that sin. I cannot say that you don't have a temper and haven't lost it and won't lose it again right someday. But we can't. You're not supposed to face some day's sins now. You face today's temptations now. You don't have to sin now. Now, observation number 4. The only promise is for the present. Somebody says, Brother Howes, then can I live an entire life without sin? Answer, faith only deals with present. Bible says faith is. Faith deals with present. The question is this, ladies and gentlemen, hear me carefully. The question is this. Can Jesus at this present moment, if I abide in Him, keep me from committing this sin which I have? I don't mind folks saying, well, I've just got a hot temper. But I do mind them saying, I can't help but lose it sometimes. You can have victory over it. You'll have it, but you can have victory over it. It's like an alcoholic doesn't have to drink. You may be an alcoholic, but you don't have to drink. And the truth is, every one of us is an alcoholic. Every one of us is a lustaholic. Every one of us is a lieaholic. Every one of us is a thiefaholic. Every one of us is a cheataholic. Every one of us is a temporaholic. Every one of us is a hatredaholic. We have in us sin. The curse of man and the fall of man brought us into sin. But presently, now, there is a way we do not have to make that we can keep from our sin becoming active, and there's a way we can keep from committing sin, and that way, ladies and gentlemen, is to abide in Christ. Forget the past. Forget the future. Think of the now. Observation number 5 and last. There are degrees of abiding. You abide in Christ much, you sin little. You abide in Christ little, you sin much. But to whatever degree that you now presently abide in Christ, to that extent, you can have victory over temptation that you face right now. You don't have to give in and say, oh, I have to sin, I can't help it. We're all human, you know. Now the fact that we're human, folks, hear me now. The fact that we're human makes us have to have sin. But it does not make us have to commit sin. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about the past. Just think of now. For you can have victory now. I was in my motel room a few years ago. I was watching a golf tournament. Jack Nicklaus was playing golf. I guess the greatest golfer that's ever lived. Now, I don't play golf anymore. I did up until, years ago. I haven't played golf in years. I think a time or two I've hit a few on a par three when I was at a hotel that had a little course out in front. But I've not played a round of golf in, I guess, 20 years. As I've told you before, I quit the game because they discriminated against me. They mowed the grass where everybody else played and would not mow it where I played. So I quit the game. But I was watching Jack Nicklaus. Unbelievable. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. Uncanny. He took that club 185 yards from the green. Now, for me, that's two drivers. For him, it was one five-iron. Five-iron. I'm like the fellow who was teeing off from the tee box. And the fellow said, "Hey, man, you're teeing off 3 feet too far up." He said, "Shut up. This is my second shot." I couldn't believe it. But I saw Jack Nicklaus knock in a 50-some-odd foot putt. That's a drive for me. The next hole, I saw him get up for a little 15-inch putt and miss it. I enjoyed that tremendously. 15-inch putt. He missed it. Now, wait a minute. Next hole, he drove the ball out of bounds. Took him three shots to get the ball back in the fairway. And then he hit it and topped it. Topped it. And cut a little. I enjoyed this. He took a 9 on that hole. After he got through with the hole, they interviewed him and said, "Jack, what happened to you on this hole?" And he said, "Every shot I had my mind on that 15-inch putt, I missed on the previous hole." What was he doing? He was not focusing on the present. He did not realize that everything he had ever learned about golf would help him to make a par or a birdie or an eagle on that hole. He had it in him, but didn't use it. Now listen to me. I'm talking to folks this morning who are committing sin you don't have to commit. And the reason you are is you have fallen prey to the heresy that you can't help but do it. Now, you can't help but that you have done it. You say you have not sinned. You make God a liar and His Word's not in you. If you say you have no sin, that's possession of the liquor on the shelf, the temper on the shelf, the hatred on the shelf, the lust on the shelf, the adultery on the shelf, the lying on the shelf, the stealing on the shelf. It is present with all of us. And all those sins are on everybody's shelf. And God is saying, in that verse He's saying, you better be careful, don't be cocky, because you got your shelf loaded with every one of these sins. But He says there's a way that you don't have to, at this moment, commit any of them. And that is if you abide in me. I don't have time to tell you what abide in Christ means. I taught it to you 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, 2 or 3 weeks ago on Wednesday night. But there's a way if you live in Christ and live in this book and walk with God. There is a way that at this present moment you will have sinned. But at this present moment, if you remember to abide in Christ,
you can walk up to the devil and sit on his back and say, "Sorry, devil, you can't touch me because I got Jesus in the cage with me." Our Heavenly Father,